a 1983 Ferrari Mondial. Or is it a Mondial? I don't know how to pronounce it. Does anyone even want this car? Is this the Ferrari that just nobody cares about? Or will people fight over this thing? You might be surprised what happens on Bring a Trailer. Let's find out right now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Bit Nerds, your daily nerd on the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. My name is John Polnick, coming to you from the downtown Las Vegas Container Park in downtown Las Vegas, along with my partner, Michael Deeb, in downtown San Francisco in the yet-to-be-named studio. We are leaning on you, the nerd herd, to help us name the studio. What's up, Michael Deeb?
Good morning, JP. It's a Ferrari day today. That's going to be fun.
Today's a Ferrari day. Look at that. Little
what's
teasing,
the matter for you?
Teasing the most interesting car of the day. I'm showing off the stickers here. Nice. We are going to set up, I hate Patreon. I just don't like those guys. But we want to maybe use Indiegogo or Buy Me a Coffee or something for you guys. A lot of people have been asking how do we support the show, and we really appreciate that. We haven't been able to give a good answer, but we are working on that. We got a lot of things kind of brewing for our 1,000 subscribers. You know that we're getting really, really close here, You guys have been helping by sharing videos in groups on Facebook and on Instagram and those kinds of places, and we really appreciate that. The Nerd Herd is growing. What's that? Go ahead.
I was looking at some of the comments recently, JP, and was really cool to see that two of our new subscribers both commented that they had found the show because they were looking at car videos on YouTube, and YouTube showed them Bit Nerds on the side, which I thought is really great. So it sounds to me like with this recent surge that we've had over the last 100 subscribers or so, or whatever, that we're we're starting to crack the code of the algorithm, at least just a little bit. And I hope we get another big windfall of recommendations from YouTube as we get to 1,000 subscribers. But thank you to all the new listeners, all the new viewers. We really appreciate you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. And on top of that, we are now available on just about every podcast platform that there is: Spotify, Amazon, Apple. You can find the Bit Nerds pretty much everywhere that you enjoy and consume podcasts. So if you found us on one of those, we very much appreciate you guys. Come over and check us out on the YouTube side and give us a subscribe and like, and maybe put some comments over there. This is kind of where we put the main show. We want to do a lot of really cool things. When we get to 1,000, we can start doing a live show, and we want comments from you guys. Let us know what day and what time of day would be best for you to join us on a weekly live episode of Bit Nerds. We record the show and we kind of marry the beginning and the end, but we want to do a live one where you guys can interact with us while we do it. I know a lot of you, Ross is in the other side of the planet, so that's gonna
be
tough for him.
Ross is the first one to give us a time, and he goes, but of course, because I'm in New Zealand, so it's not like I'm
going to
watch you live anyways.
Right.
We love you, Ross.
I have a feeling Ross would get up in the middle of the night just for us. He's that kind of swell fella. He's king of the nerd herd.
Oh my god,
so many good guys on there. So thank you guys so much. All right. Before we get started, just want to give a big shout out to our good friends at Godin Classic, Godin Las Vegas. If you have a classic Porsche and you need some parts for it, give them a call over there and let them know the Bit Nerd sent you. And if you're also looking for a classic Porsche to add to your garage, they can help you with that. They get the best cars, and you don't have to deal with all this auction nonsense. Some of the stuff that we deal with looking at these cars on the auction kind of makes you go, I don't know, maybe I just want to go to something like Godin and not have to deal with the nonsense over here. With all of that said, go say hello to our friends at Godin Classic. Hey, next, look, we're going to go in the future, in the middle of this show, at some point, what we do, if you're new to the show, what we do is we find the most interesting car from P Car Market and Cars and Bids and bring a trailer. We have a conversation about that car. We make a prediction as to what's going to happen with that car's auction results, and then we marry the results with our wrong predictions, and that's where things, you know, really get interesting. So you can play along by putting in the comments below. You can give your guess what's going to actually happen with the auction results. But we have a pro coming on the second half of the show. We got Lucky Lopez coming in for the second half of this episode, so he's gonna lend his expertise. That'll be really cool. So stick around for that. But all right, let's get to the most interesting car of the day, Michael D. What is it? You teased that it's a Ferrari. What kind of Ferrari?
Yeah. Oh, JP, we haven't done one of these in a while, and I was just looking at this car and thinking, what do I want to park in the garage next to my Carrera wide body? And that would be a mid-engine Ferrari from the same era. I just think that'd be really cool to have, you know, two-car solution for the sports cars. I would love to have something from Stuttgart and something from Maranello. This car would be a candidate, a 1983 Ferrari Mondial Quattro Valvole Coupe. And a really interesting car, JP, out of Plano, Texas, showing just 29,000 miles. This car had been listed on BAT before in September of 2022, which honestly was just like 7-8 months ago. And at that time, our car failed to sell as it was bid to $39,750 on a respectable 49 bids. But that $39,750 in September 13th of 2022 was a reserve not met. And so the car has come up again, and I believe offered by the same seller. Let me confirm that since I've got both windows open. Boom, boom, boom. Indeed, the same seller is selling the car. Really neat car, JP. The Mondial is actually the successor to the 308 GT4 Dino. In that it is a mid-engine car, but it's a 2+2. So in all honesty, the GT4 Dino is really the closer competitor to like a 911 Carrera from the 70s than, say, the Magnum PI car, which is really just a two-seat car. The 308 GT4 Dino actually has different suspension geometry, and those cars handle really, really well, whereas the Magnum PI Ferraris don't handle worth a damn. They're actually terrible driving cars. But the GT4 Dinos are great. This car, even though it doesn't look like it, is actually an evolution of that car's platform. This car was built on a slightly stretched version of the GT4 Dino platform. The motor is transverse. It's a gated 5-speed manual. In this guise, let me start over again. The Mondial 8 was the successor to the GT4 Dino, and that car only was built for a year or two and came only as a coupe. A few years later, they made the Quattro Valvole, and this car got the 4-valve head and makes about 240 horsepower. And this car was offered in both coupe and cabriolet form. And of course, Ferrari sold way more of the cabriolets than they did of the coupe. So the coupes are kind of rare, and they're kind of, I mean, I don't love the rubber bumpers, but they're kind of cool looking with the sort of flying buttresses, those wings that come off the back of the car behind the rear quarter windows. So pretty neat car. I think they're better drivers than their 308 counterparts. Largely unloved because they don't have the Magnum PI and that sort of poster child Ferrari tie-in. Kind of take it or leave it styling. They certainly have a long wheelbase to accommodate that rear seat, even though the rear seat offers zero legroom. But I wonder if one day these cars will get their due. This car failed to sell at about $40,000 not that long ago, JP, and it's up again. So the big question is, will it make more than its mark from last year? And then if it does, will it sell? Will it actually get to whatever the reserve is? So I send it back to you. I can confess that I've never driven a Mondial. I have driven 308s, and I've driven GT4 Dinos, which is a car I would really love to own. But if you're talking about bang for the buck, your Mondial, coupe or spider, is the Ferrari to have. And in a lot of ways, they have better geometry and they're better handling cars than the 308s. So any love, any experience behind any version of a Mondial, and what did you think?
Absolutely. I really, really do love Mondials. I don't know why. I've always kind of liked the weird stuff, though. I like 348s. I always like 964s when everyone else thought they were crap. I don't know. Maybe it's because they were attainable. You know, I remember back in the day, I bought a Z4, and I was kind of like on the fence. Do I get this or do I get the old Mondial? And, you know, at the time they were about the same price, you know, and
right. Still are.
And still are. Yeah. And this car is just so much cooler. I remember going to the Z4 cause I knew I wouldn't be able to, carry that. Sorry guys, if that noise coming through, I couldn't carry the maintenance cost of something like this. Yeah. You always hear the horror stories of, you know, a spark plug getting stuck in one of these or something like that. And it's just like, oh my God. But I have driven them and I absolutely loved it and was surprised by how much people hate these and say they're awful. And it's like, man, every time I've driven one, I've driven like a handful of times and loved every one of them. Even a actually fairly recently, Mental and I went out and looked at one. Mental's a good friend of ours. He's on the Dura or Die Porsche podcast.
What's up, Mental?
Mental and I went out and looked at just an absolute pile of crap one here in Las Vegas,
yes.
Just for fun, you know, and you know, I think the guy wanted like 19 grand for it or something like that.
Oh my God.
It was junky at best. Let's put it that way. But even that was terribly fun to drive. It made the noises and the notchy shifting with the gate and everything like that. It was like, God dang, this is just a blast, man. For 20 grand, be able to drive a Ferrari. So I don't know. Chris Harris has a convertible one. He loves it. He's got a famous film on his channel, and he's well known for loving that car. I mean, you know me, not being a cabriophobe, I kind of prefer a car with no roof. What's the movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrels from the 80s with Steve Martin and Michael Keaton? Not Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Other Michael.
Weird Science. Remember Weird Science?
Weird Science, of course, had the Mondial or Mondial, yeah. However you pronounce it. But I always liked the one in Monaco from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Steve Martin having fun with the ladies in the car. Yeah. But yeah, I've always had a soft spot for these. I don't know why they were so poo-pooed. I would love to have one now. So the question is, how much would it cost me? Is this the one? Would this be the one to get?
All right, JP. So I forgot to mention a couple things because I talked myself into a big circle. But these early cars actually have metric measured wheels, which makes buying tires for these cars a problem. And the tires on this car are date coded like a century ago. Like I think they're 05 tires, which is really bad. So you're either going to plump for some unusually expensive metric size tires, which are not easy to find, but they're out there. Or the coup d'etat would be to switch over to conventional, like either 14 or 16 inch alloy wheels from a 308 and fit them to this car. So you'd have to buy wheels and tires. And again, that could be pretty expensive. That's going to run you somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 because all of the wheels on the Ferraris are magnesium. They're not inexpensive. Also, the headliner is sagging on the sunroof part of that, so you'd want to get that fixed. So it's not a perfect car, despite the low 29,000 miles. So JP, here we go. As I mentioned, this car failed to sell last year for $39,000. Our car is sitting at, with just a couple of days to go, $12,500 on a lowly four bids. Mondial lack of love continues to plague these cars. And JP, I mean, look, I'm not Miss Chloe, but just reading the tea leaves, I don't think this car is going to break the 39,000. I actually think 40 grand for this car would be a retail number. And that's if the car was perfect, and it's not. The car needs some attention, namely those tires and fixing the headliner and you know, probably could use a buff out. The steering wheel has some scratches on it and a few other things. I think that not accepting the 40 grand that he received last year on BAT is not going to age well for him. I think this car struggles to find 30 grand because I'm a Ferrari lover and a Mondial apologist. I'm going to say $35,000, but I will send that to you with I'm bidding with my heart and not my brain. My brain is telling me this car might not even make 30 grand this time around. That $19,000 for the Mondial, that you saw, which is a rough one, doesn't even make sense because nice ones, the cost of ownership and maintenance on these cars is so high, it hurts the values of the car, and that's the problem. That guy is never going to get 19 grand for his rough Mondial because this guy can't even get 40 for a nice one, and this nice one needs work. So JP, I send it to you at 35. It's an easy under to take, but I don't think he's going to see 39 again. And I wonder if it, like, did he lower the reserve to relist it? I imagine BAT would have to enforce some sort of policy, like, we'll let you run the car again, but we're going to stand on the reserve and it's not up for debate. So I'm guessing that maybe if it gets to 35, it sells. But that guy is going to regret not taking that 39 from before. So there it is to you, John. What do you think?
I mean, you want to know what hurts is my soul watching this idiot drive it. This is just so god dang annoying, dude. Look at this jerk. You know, yeah. One-handed, rowing through the gears. Look, I mean, what a dick. You know, and his t-shirt's dirty. You can't really see it in the way. This kind of stuff just ticks me off so much. It's clearly a dealer that doesn't know what the hell they, the fact that they couldn't sell it before. I mean, screw these guys. Yeah, 29. I think it gets to 29. I think it fails to sell again. Unless they, did you say this is no reserve or it does have reserve?
It has a reserve. Yeah, and I'm just wondering at 39 was a retail number for that car and it didn't sell. Why would BAT let this guy relist the car without a reserve? That's a curious thing. I would love to be a fly on the wall in a couple of the board meetings at some of these auction places to see what their policy is, only because I do have a background in being in the room during sales meetings and understanding how the process is supposed to work. You know, I mean, obviously there's your ideal thing, but then there's got to be protocols in place to protect the auction platform. Is BAT really okay with this car failing to sell again? Did they say, okay, we'll list it, but it's going to be a $20,000 reserve? Like, I wish we could see, you know, the back page of this listing. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Was there something really weird that happened on the last go around? Because, like, sometimes, you know, like, maybe they had a stall out on the, you know, sometimes there could be a technical problem. Or maybe someone how many times have you seen, you know, it's a real thing where someone accidentally bid too much, like someone fat fingers an extra zero or an extra digit or whatever, and they clearly didn't mean to bid, you know, $50,000 over. They only meant to go $500 more, and they wind up going, and then they fix it during the auction, but now you've kind of ruined the flow of the auction. Maybe they're like giving him, maybe something like that happened on the last one, no?
I don't know. At the very end of the auction, there's a comment by the seller, and he says, after the car failed to sell, reading the comments, I guess I was not as responsive as so many expected, and I apologize for that, but I did my best.
This was the seller that is commenting.
The seller. Okay. He's apologizing. He says, for the doubters, this is actually a very well-sorted example, and I made sure of it with an open checkbook. I'll enjoy it for a while before it goes on the market again. So I don't know.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, he's like, I'll enjoy it. I made sure. He's a dealer. What are you talking about? You're not an owner. It was the previous. It's the same seller, right?
Yeah, it's the exact same seller.
What a lying sack of shish, man. I mean, screw you, dude. I hope you fail again, and I hope you never come back to BAT. These are the kind of deals that screw it up for everyone. This guy does. Bro. This guy should be on P-Car Market. He would totally fit right in with his dirty T-shirt, one-handed on the steering wheel, numb fit. I mean, he's the reason why no one would buy it, and it's going to happen again, and he deserves to have a failure here. He's going to enjoy it again, acting like he's the owner. You can own a dealership and own your own car, but to not be more, I mean, it's just so disingenuous, this idea. It's like when the dealership, when the car salesman, when the used sales guy tries to be your buddy. And it's like, bro, you're not my buddy. We all know you're not my buddy. Stop trying to act like it, okay? Treat me with respect. I'm good with that. But we know what's going on. You're trying... So P-Car Market. All right, what do you guys think is going to happen with this Mondial? Is it going to finally find the new owner? Is someone going to save it from this jackass that currently owns it? We will find out right after this. What a dick. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. We are in the future. It's like this. We've got the best flux capacitor because not only are we in the future, we also picked up an expert. We got Lucky Lopez from the Lucky Lopez YouTube channel. Yeah. What the hell are you doing here, Lucky?
I am here to totally embarrass myself and pick the wrong number and make myself look like a complete ass clown. So I'm hoping you guys wrong don't number. Make me look too bad on this video. Yeah.
All right.
My God. He was off by $1,000 on his last guest.
Yahtzee's on his very first try. Man, you're like, jeez. All right. So that's what happens when we bring a professional in. Lucky Lopez has an amazing channel, you guys. If you haven't checked it out already, please do so now. The Lucky Lopez YouTube channel. You can tell if you don't know already, he's a much bigger deal than we are. And when you're done with that, come back over here and hit the subscribe, like, notification button here if you haven't done it already. We love the Nerd Herd. Okay. What happened with this Ferrari?
All right, so Lucky, what we're looking at is on Bring a Trailer, a 1983 Ferrari Mondial Quattro Valvole Coupe. Our car is offered out of Plano, Texas, and is showing 29,000 miles. It failed to sell at $39,000 on Bring a Trailer in September of 22, so basically about 6-7 months ago. But they're running it again. Couple things that are interesting to note. I think they did the belt service, if I remember correctly. But this car still has like a sagging headliner on the roof. It's got metric wheels. So the dates on the tires are from 2005 because it's so difficult to find, it's so difficult to find tires for the metric size wheels. I will note, Lucky, you did a good job with me. This car has pop-up headlights, everyone. I don't know that I mentioned it before the commercial break, but Lucky would stop talking to me if I forgot to mention that it has pop-up headlights, which makes it uber, uber cool. But Lucky, by the numbers, Ferrari made way less of the coupes than the convertibles. The Quattro Valvole was the first generation to offer a convertible, so this is kind of a rare car because they would have made way more of the Cabrio stablemates. Our car was sitting for a very long time at just $12,500 on four bids when we reviewed it. I said 35 grand. I thought this car might struggle in today's economy to even reach the $39,000 it had gotten before. JP, ever the more pragmatic one, said 29,000 bucks. Care to venture a guess as to what this Mondial Coupe, which is 29,000 miles, would have brought on Bring a Trailer last week?
Well, this is a perfect example of just because it's rare doesn't make it desirable or worth anymore. And unfortunately, this is one of the most unpopular Ferraris. I'm guessing this was a hard stop at about 39.
Oh, so you think it would get almost the same number it got the last time it ran about 6-7 months ago? That's pretty good. He would have won this. He would have won this one. I don't like this guy anymore, John. $44,000 brought this baby home. It sold on $44,000. Lucky, another very good guess from you. And JP, just to round it out, that was on 26 bids. A lot more action than it got last time it ran. JP, the question begs, because you guys would like to bring in the economy conversation. Can we say that $44,000 is actually any more money than $39,000 was in September of 22, given the handful of interest rate hikes and inflation that we may have experienced in the last 7 months? Is that not basically the same number, only younger?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're pretty much right there. We're like probably 2 percentage points off. But another thing that I think the reason why
that's a good take, Deep. Yeah,
Do you know anybody that actually goes out looking for these cars? No. I've seen these all over Vegas, actually. I've seen quite a few out here, and it's like I don't know anybody that wants them. I've seen a few was on a Rockstar movie with Wahlberg, the convertible one.
Yeah.
But besides that, I've never seen one of these things actually driving. They're always sitting in some Italian shop just waiting to be worked on. So to me, I would wait for a 348, 308, or 355, any of those where you can get between the $38,000 to $60,000 marker. I think these ones, I think they got all the money for it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I do too. I actually do think it is. But I also think that the number, you know, based on what I've learned doing the show with John over the last really solid last year and a half, is that the economy makes such a big deal to what the value, what the numbers are. Don't be blinded by the numbers, but understand what the value of those numbers is saying to you. And he walked away from 39. And it's like, if you asked him, would you take that number again? Okay, great. Well, if you took 39, you lost money on your last one. But at 44, you basically said yes to the number you said no to 7 months ago. And so I think he just changed his mind because he didn't spend any more money on the car, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would way rather have had $40,000 7 months ago than $44,000 now. You could have done a lot better with that car or with that money over the course of that time. Unless he was driving it and loving it and having a great time, but clearly he wanted to get rid of it back then. I mean, these cars are just a liability. Lucky's so right. I mean, as much as I said it before the break, I actually really like these. I've kind of got a soft spot for them. And we talked about why, Weird Science and all the movies that these cars were in. And I think they drive better than people give them credit for. They're not a great car, but for $40,000, you roll up in a Ferrari, you're in a bright red car. It's going to get attention. People are going to see it. They're going to get excited. It's a sense of occasion. It's not a Countach. It's not the 355 or even a 348, like you mentioned, Lucky, which are cars that clearly I like better. But I think those are just generally going to cost a lot more. It's tough to find a nice 348 anymore without spending somewhere in that 60 grand range. I guess Ferrari for the buck, this is a okay amount of money. This car had a little bit of a patina car too. It's a little bit rougher than I thought should bring this kind of money. I'm very surprised by these results. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below. Was this car bought right? Too much money? Not enough? Let us know. We love your comments. We always learn stuff from the Nerd Herd out there. That's a thing, Lucky. I know you get tons of comments on your videos. How much do you learn from your audience? I mean, you gotta have some great knowledge coming to the comment section of your videos.
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason we get people in the comment is because every market is different. We want to hear everybody's opinion because even though this didn't do really well on Bring a Trailer, you may be in a certain market where, like in Southern California, where this car maybe got 50 sitting on a dealership lot. So it's very important you guys chime in the comment section below, because the more stuff we learn from you and you kind of give us hints on video tips, things you want to talk about, and other, like maybe you want us to review your cars, put it in the comment section below. Whatever it is, we already got some fun giveaways with, I know you guys are giving away stickers, we're doing a pie in the face, and we're just out there having fun. So I guess really interaction is key. We want to hear from you guys.
Awesome.
Yeah,
thanks.
One of our Nerd Herd JP asked us to cover a Jaguar XJR. So I am on the search for a good Jaguar. I saw one, but it was really high mileage, and I don't think it's a fair example. So the next nice XJR, I forget your name, but it's for you.
He didn't forget your name, Lucky. He forgot the Nerd Herd guy.
Oh, of course.
He's like, this is for you, guy on the show that's been, we've been talking for 2 hours. All right. Thanks, Lucky, for hanging out with a couple of knuckleheads. We will see you guys tomorrow with the most interesting car of the day. Bye.
Nerd! Get those nerds!